Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet or introduce myself, my name is Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here worshiping God and praising his name. And I say it every week, I won't stop saying it. There's literally no place I would rather be than right here with each of you doing exactly what I just mentioned. Especially with a worship set like that and with people serving like that and testimonies being shared like that. It never gets old seeing people step out in faith and reaching for him. So we're going to continue our series today entitled Good News. And it's actually the eighth part of this series, which has been so much fun for me to be able to just pick a book of the Bible and go through it verse by verse. And today we're going to talk about something that is very near and dear to my heart. And it's not something I really had to prepare for. It was something God was preparing me for. And I had no idea that August 10th, 2025 was going to be the day that things were going to come to a complete circle and always be pointing to him. So the thing I'm talking about today is desperation. And you know, I'm going to take my trusty steed here, and I'm going to go all the way back here where I got to experience desperation on a whole different level. You know, there's things in our life that whenever you get to a point of complete desperation, there's literally nothing else that you can reach for except God. And I remember a few years ago sitting right in this spot, and I couldn't stand, I couldn't reach for Jesus, I couldn't jump around, and I was desperate. I was desperate for him. And I'll never forget, Rachel was sitting right here, and we still had comfy chairs back here. We didn't have the black folding ones. There's more to that story, but... And I said, Rachel, I need to stand. I need to reach for Jesus, I need to worship. It kills me that I can't worship right now. And I remember standing, and I stood, and I put my leg up on the chair, because this thing has wheels. And I just reached for him. All the while, Rachel's yelling at me, my mother-in-law's yelling at me, you got to sit down, you got to sit down. I said, no, I got to worship him. And I was desperate for him. This back here was one of my most desperate moments because I couldn't greet you guys as you were walking in. I couldn't walk over to you and give you a hug. I couldn't worship with you. All I could do at that moment was reach for Jesus. That was it. So I've left that thing behind me, and I've let many people borrow it and use it. And God got me to a point where that reaching for him showed me everything that he was doing over 5 years. Six, actually. And today we're going to talk about two people in the Bible that were completely desperate. And all they did was they got to a point in their desperation where they reached for him. They reached for him. They got to a point where their fear was overcome by their faith. They got themselves out of the way and placed him at the forefront. And these two people that we talk about, they're normal, everyday, ordinary people just like you and like me. But they reached for him. So I'm going to read out of Mark 5 today. I'm going to read all the verses we're going to go over. They're not going to come up on the screen. It's going to stay there. But I believe that there's something powerful about when the Word of God is read to you and read over you, and you get to see it come to life in a different way. So here we go, Mark 5, verse 21. The heading in my Bible says, Jesus heals in response to faith. Verse 21, Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him, my little daughter is dying, he said. Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so that she can live. Jesus went with him and all the people followed, crowding around him. And a woman in the crowd who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, she had suffered a great deal from many doctors. And over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay for them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and she touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that the healing power had gone out of him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? And his disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had just happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. And while he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus and the leader of the synagogue, and they told him, your daughter is dead. There's no use in troubling the teacher now. But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just have faith. Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing, and he went inside and asked, why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep. And the crowd laughed at him. But he made them all leave. And he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, Talith akum, which means, little girl, get up. And the girl who was 12 years old immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. And Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what happened. And then he told them to give her something to eat. Listen, we're going to go verse by verse here, and we're going to break this down, but I want you to place yourself in this story. I want you to either be Jairus or the woman with the issue. I find it so interesting that when we go through this text, this woman didn't even get a name. Just the woman with the issue. Listen, I don't know all of your names. I'll never forget a face, though, but Jesus knows your name. Yeah. And guess what else he knows? He knows your issues. He knows your full name, your social security number. He knows everything. He knows your issues, too. So as we unpack this, I want you to remember your name, remember his name, and remember the fact that your issues can be gone whenever we reach for Jesus. Listen, Jesus doesn't respond to fear. Jesus doesn't respond to anxiety or depression or frustration. Jesus responds to faith. When we reach out to him in faith, let's break this down in some context. So Jesus, he's back in the boat. He's crossing the Sea of Galilee, back to huge crowds and everybody pressing in to be near him, the following and thousands attracted to his teaching. Hey, Jesus is coming. He's on a boat again. Here he is. Everybody, gather around. And then there's two people that know that their need is going to be met when they reach for him in faith. Jesus got into the boat again, went back to the other side of the lake when a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then the leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus. Everybody say Jairus. Jairus. Any Jairus is in the crowd today? No? Okay. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. My little girl's dying. He said, please come, lay your hands on her, heal her so she can live. Jairus, this local leader of the synagogue, he's part of the religious establishment. They wouldn't have been against Jesus at this point. But when you're desperate, you'll do anything. This man was reaching for him, and there was still a little bit of fear in him. So I love what Jesus does. He makes him wait. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what your issue is. But sometimes you're going to have to wait. Some people, 12 years. Isn't it amazing the little girl was 12 years old and the woman was dealing with the issue for 12 years? I don't know. It just stuck out to me. I love that. The connection. Jesus went with them and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many, many doctors. And over the years, she spent everything she had to pay them, but it had gotten no better. In fact, it had gotten worse. This woman who was in the crowd suffered for 12 years. Didn't say she had a little issue or it was nagging or this nagging pain. No, suffering for 12 years. And no one saw her in the crowd. Sometimes we can all relate to that. I'm in this big crowd, but nobody sees me. Nobody knows what I'm walking through. Nobody knows what I've been dealing with. Nobody knows the suffering that I've gone through. We can all feel that. She was invisible to others. She was damaged goods. Nobody saw her. Jesus just passed her by. Can any of us relate to that? We feel like Jesus is moving and walking right past us. Listen, he knows you, he sees you, and he cares. Sometimes he just wants us to catch up. It says we're following him. He's got to walk past us for us to follow. Just a thought. This woman was a social and religious outcast. She was ceremonially unclean, which is greatly restricted both by her religion and her social life. The suffering woman clearly felt alone. She felt isolated. She felt forgotten. She felt unseen. No one to talk to. It's likely that her husband most likely divorced her, left her, according to law, since he wasn't even permitted to touch her because she was unclean. 12 years. She sought doctors and spent everything she had. She was poor, broken emotionally, financially, spiritually. All the above, fill in the blank. She spent all her money on doctors and prescriptions and all these things. We think health insurance is a problem now. What happens when you do all that you can do? There's nothing else. This was her, the woman without a name, the woman with an issue. This was who she was. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and she touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can only touch his robe, I will be healed. And immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel her body, that she had been healed from this terrible condition. In verse 27, when she came through the crowd, she was at her point of complete and utter desperation. I've done everything else. I just need to reach for him. Listen, I don't know all the issues in the room. I just know there's a bunch of them. But I do know that if we reach for him in that area, everything will change. Everything. Not necessarily how you think it's going to, or when you want it to, or how, or any of those things. But when you reach for him, he will change your perspective, your heart, the way that you walk, and the way that others see you. So we're going to have a lot of things for you to reach for. And Jesus is at the end of the reach every single time. We're going to talk about groups later. Maybe you feel unseen. Maybe you feel like nobody knows your name. Maybe you feel like you have no one to talk to. And you've been sitting here for years and we've been telling you, get a part of a group. So that when you're not in the big family reunion, the people that you sit with will know you and help you see who he is and who you are through him. They will know your name. They'll even ask for your phone number. People will walk with you, pray with you, care for you, encourage you, empower you, equip you, cry with you. Listen, I told you about that place being my most desperate moment. It was just where everything came to a head. I was living in desperation, sleeping on my couch with IVs in my arm, falling asleep or trying to fall asleep while you hear your wife cry upstairs. I heard you. Desperate. And all you got to do is reach. Just like this woman did. Listen, the statement, God won't give you more than you can handle. Yes, he will. God won't give you more than he can handle. He'll give you a lot more than you can handle because he wants to get you to a point of desperation so that you reach for him. Get low, get humble, get right. And touch the hem of his garment. And then she stood up. And she knew that she was healed. She didn't go to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, listen, I've been dealing with this issue. Nick's Jesus right now. I've been dealing with this issue and this stuff's going on. And if you could find it in your time, I know you're busy. I know you're really busy. I know you're busy. 12 years. I know you're busy. But if you could just please, 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 please. No. She crawled below the people that couldn't see her. She crawled below the people that didn't know her name. She crawled and just reached for him. How much faith did that take? To just reach. If I can just touch his robe. It was faith at that moment. His robe wasn't like magical. There was no power in the robe. There was power in her faith reaching out and him meeting her. Not everybody has the same degree of faith, and that's okay. But Jesus responds to faith no matter what, no matter how feeble we are, no matter how small we feel, no matter how much struggle we're going through. He responds to faith, not fear or begging. You're a kid of the King. He doesn't want you to beg him for things. He wants you to just reach out to him. Listen, if there's a little kid that reaches out to her or his father or mother, the dad doesn't say, no. What do you do? I thought about it that moment, picking one of you up, but I took my flesh captive and I didn't do it. And Steve's really far away. But think about it. When a child reaches for their parent or a loved one, what do the people do? They pick them up. The same is true for Jesus. Just reach for him. And I know there's guys in the room like, listen, he's talking about that woman. She got issues. I don't got issues. Just women reach. No, you reach too, and you can still get picked up. I don't care how big you are. Who said that? Bruce? Bro, I'll pick you up later. Just wait here. I'll hold you like a baby. Guys, you need to reach. There's power whenever there are men that are going to reach for him in whatever area of life their life may. And all the ladies are saying amen. Listen, there's power when you say, I'm broken, I need him, I'm going to reach for him, and I'm going to see if he meets me. Who's clapping? The ladies. Here's why the ladies are clapping, because they get it, because their Victory and Freedom Weekend's full. There's still spot for the guys. There's still spots for you. Jesus realized that once he had felt that healing power had gone out of him, he turned around to the crowd and he said, who touched my robe? And this woman who was at her knees in front of him told him what she had done. And he said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. She went from the woman with an issue to a daughter after just reaching. From being nameless to being a daughter. The only woman in the New Testament who Jesus referred to as daughter. Game changer. Jesus wanted to identify her so that she could know that he knows her, he sees her, and he cares. All it took was a reach. So guys, what area of your life do you need to reach in? Ladies, what area of your life do you need to reach in? Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in the way you're raising your children. Maybe it's you need to reach out in faith and say, Jesus, I'm going to serve you in your kingdom, and I'm going to wait for my gift to be identified. Listen, you know what your gift is? Your gift is that thing that you do better than anyone else without even trying. I had no idea that I was going to be a preacher, but when I was little, I knew I liked to talk. That gift was in me. I didn't have to learn how to talk. I didn't need to be told, hey, tell a story. I didn't need to be told those things. My gift was in there. I just needed to reach for him, and the anointing came on it. What gift do you need to reach with? Maybe you're really good at caring for families and encouraging and empowering and equipping them. Maybe you need to get into a group and say, I want an apprentice. Maybe you're really good at making people feel at home. You have an unbelievable hospitality gift. Maybe, just maybe, you need to go to the to the cafe meeting that's happening today at 12:30. Just a thought. Well, I don't want to just serve coffee. You're not just serving coffee. You're creating an environment of hospitality where people feel welcomed and cared for. And guess what? When you hand them their coffee, you learn their name. Maybe, just maybe, you really like being around kids. We got 4 rooms of them. We need more. The only other space we could go to is the roof, and it's not safe up there. I go out there every once in a while. I don't like it because I don't want to put a skylight right here. I don't want to fall through the roof. But there's 4 rooms that you could use that gift. Well, I don't know what I would preach. I don't know what I would teach. I don't know what. We'll help you with that. We just need you to reach for him with your gift. I feel nameless. Nobody knows my name when I walk in here. When's the last time you introduced yourself to somebody? Why did Jesus call this woman out? This woman with an issue? Because he wanted to know who dared to step out. He wanted to know who was different in the crowd. Because something was different. Listen, the Mon Valley way is that, if anybody just knew what I'm going through. Nobody calls me. Nobody reaches out to me. Start being the change. She was tired of sitting in her stuff. She reached out. Dare to step out and tell Jesus the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you, Jesus. Hint, he already knows. He's just waiting for you to stop lying to yourself. You're not lying to him. You're hiding it from him. Dare to step out. Good news. You know when good news comes? 95% of the time after bad news. It just happens. From nameless to being a daughter. Her issue was her identity, but Jesus restored who she really was. Now, let's talk about the other guy, Jairus. Imagine what he's going through. Oh, I went to him first. I told him my issue first. This woman got what she needed, and here I am, still waiting. I'm a leader. This may burst some of your bubbles, but leaders go through stuff too. While he was still speaking to the daughter, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, and told him, "Your daughter is dead. Hey, your daughter's dead. The teacher took too much time. You weren't important. Let it go, mail it in. She had a good run." Jesus overheard what they were saying, but he ignored them and went straight to Jairus and said, "Don't be afraid, just have faith. Don't be afraid, only believe." This is a commandment from Jesus. Fear will rule you, but faith will take you somewhere. We want to do both. We just want to have faith and a little bit of fear. But these two people were allowing for their faith to overcome their fear, their anxiety, their depression, their frustration, all of the above. Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John. Now, it's just my understanding or my thought. It doesn't say this, but the reason Peter, James, and John got to go is because those are the ones that Jesus needed to keep an eye on. They were the fun ones, the troublemakers a little bit. And Jesus is like, "Come on, guys, I can't leave you three alone. Let's go." Just the thought. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing, and he went inside and he asked, why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead. She's just sleeping. She's just resting her eyes. Hired professionals were weeping and mourning and wailing and making all this commotion. Their hearts weren't in it. Come and mourn at Jairus' house. Come and cry for him. Come and do these things. His daughter just died. They just went there. They were crying. Maybe they were hot and hungry. I don't know. So they started laughing. And they kept it moving because Jesus just said, she's just sleeping. She's just resting her eyes. She just needs a little cat nap. What did Jesus do? He gave us such a powerful moment there. Silence the distractions. Shut them up. Don't let the things that are distracting you from reaching to Jesus in faith to distract you from doing so. Shut up the distractions. The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave. He took the little girl's father and mother and his three disciples, because he still needed to keep an eye on them, into the room where the girl was lying. Hold her hand, he said to her. Talitha kum, little girl, get up. Jesus didn't reach for her. Jesus didn't hold her hand. He told her parents to do it because they needed to take one final step of faith. And the little girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. And Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened. And then he told them to give her something to eat. 12 years old, imagine. She stood up, she walked around, she was thinking about Chick-fil-A and I got to get the Pizza Hut. It was a long nap, I need to do this stuff. This might be an unpopular opinion, but Domino's is better than Pizza Hut now. I said what I said. I said what I said. You're just not ordering right. Jesus touches this family personally and individually, and the same is true today. The woman, the daughter, 12 years of agony and hopelessness to change, and she was poor, a nobody, came in secret. Jesus will come to you. And immediately, there was healing in public for her. This 12-year-old little girl, she was the opposite. She came from a distinguished family. She was wealthy. She was prominent, but still, her dad needed to go publicly and show that I'm at a point of faith and desperation. There are people here today that you've gotten to a point where you needed Jesus. You reached for him. He met you. And now it's time for you to publicly declare that. How do you do it? Baptisms. Depending on how many people say, I want to be baptized, we'll either have one over here and one over here, or just one over there, or maybe we'll put it in a parking lot this time. I don't know. But no matter what, it's going to be a public declaration of how Jesus has changed you and healed you from the inside out. A public outward declaration of your inward faith in Jesus. The old self goes, the new has arrived, and whatever you take into that water isn't coming out. Maybe you need to sign up for baptisms today. Maybe you need to say, the power of sin is broken in my life. He is Lord. I'm going to follow him. What he says goes, and this is the moment. That's an outward expression of what Jesus has done on the inside. Now, here's my question. Some of you are here today, and you've never made that outward expression of Jesus, I need you. So this is it. This is the moment. Maybe you just need to reach for him. He's there. Maybe you just need to stop being somebody that's a part of the crowd and reach for him. Say, Jesus, I need you. Forget my past. I repent of that. forgive me so that I could walk into my future with you. Maybe you're here today and you never reached for him in that way. Because you're afraid to do it publicly. Jairus wasn't afraid anymore. The woman with the issue that became a daughter wasn't afraid anymore. They both reached. So if you're here today and you don't have a day, a time, a moment where you've received him as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to just reach for him publicly. Say, that's me. You've been talking to me this whole time. How did you know? Because I was there. So if I'm talking to you and you need that day, you need that time, you need that moment where he becomes the Lord of your life, just reach for him and say, that's me. Anyone at all today. Jesus. Anyone else today? Listen, brother, you raised your hand in the back. There's going to be some people to pray for you, but I want to tell you something that I'm so thankful that I didn't miss it. I walk around sometimes during worship just praying for the presence of God to reign. And I looked over and I saw you worshiping. I was like, Jesus is going to touch his life today. I was standing right there. So I'll ask again, but I'm really happy that that one happened. So anyone else? Let today be your day, August 10th, 2025. Let's keep inviting people that are far from Jesus, that feel unseen, that feel unknown. Now the rest of us, you still got to reach too. Don't think you're off the hook. Maybe you need to reach out in faith and say, I'm going to serve Jesus. I don't know where, but I want to serve Jesus. Get to the connection point and you say, I want to serve you. So people can know your name. Listen, we don't have a vision that you need to fulfill. We have a vision that's going to fulfill you. We don't need you. Jesus wants you. There's a big difference. Why do they always ask people to serve? Because you come alive when you use your gift. Father God, I thank you for every single person in here today. I thank you for who they are. I thank you that as we reach for you, you meet us. Lord, I thank you for everything you've done. I praise you for what you're doing. And God, I stand before you with great expectation for what you have planned to do both in and through this place and in the people that fill it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.